Buckle up, you beauties, because we're about to dive deep into the world of all things hockey.
Pigeon!
A greasy pigeon isn't just any old bird. It's a message. It's letting the other guy know exactly where they stand. And it is not meant to be friendly.
You guys are sensitive over there.
And now, from the Pigeon's Nest, your hosts, Jeff Sullivan and Kevin Trussler. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Sullivan, and with me, as always, there he is, the beauty of a guy, the Canadian, Kevin Trussler. Kevin, you recovered from Thanksgiving yet? How you doing?
You know, the belt buckles got loosened a little bit, but overall, yeah, had some turkey, had some stuffing, had you name it. This body ate it. And now we're on the road to recovery before Christmas and then back on the road to recovery. So, yeah, good times for sure.
How many different pies were on the Trussler countertop over Thanksgiving weekend?
We had a couple different pies, but it's more so on the casseroles. There was about six different casseroles that were served, and there was only six of us. So needless to say, there's leftovers still in the freezer. We'll enjoy that at a different date for sure.
Beautiful. Well, we are got a nice special show today. We're going to again focus on junior hockey and the development of these amazing young men that play hockey all across North America. And they don't necessarily all come from North America, which leads me wonderfully to our first guest. We are joined by, I believe, one of two captains of the Dells Ducks. I believe the Dells Ducks premier team has a split captaincy this year. We are joined today by Jonathan Yaksøy. He is from Denmark. He came over two seasons ago in the USPHL premier level. He is one of two captains, as I mentioned, from the Dells Ducks. And he just played on Sunday his 100th career USPHL premier game. JJ, as you go by in the room, and I promise you, you will go by the rest of this show. Welcome to the Pigeon's Nest, man. And we're glad you take some time to come talk to us today.
Yeah, thank you. Of course. Seems like fun. So why not?
Absolutely. So speaking of fun, just quickly walk us through what Sunday meant to you. You know, your family's in town, 100th game in the USP, two goals, if I recall correctly, without the stat sheet. I mean, just walk us through what Sunday meant to you.
Sunday was a special night. I spent most of the day just looking at old pictures throughout my phone of when I played in Denmark, and then when I got here and started playing, and the special times I've had, looked back to all my friends, and it was a day I'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. The fact that you've got 100 games under your belt at such a young age already just says to the experience that you bring to the table for the Dells Ducks. Knowing that you played for, it looks like, a couple different teams last year, what made you decide to sign with the Dells Ducks this year?
Chase and Wilty. I was with Chase and Wilty in Motor City last year, and I have a lot of trust in Chase personally because we have talked a lot. So I decided to say, okay, this seems like a good place, and I like Chase. I like Wilty as a coach, so I decided, okay, I'll give it a shot. Come over.
Well, and they're happy to have you. And looking at your stat line, you're a 2005 birth year forward. So to Kevin's point, you still have a little bit of runway left, you know, the rest of the season, of course, and then multiple after that. 22 games played this year, 16 points. You know, that's kind of right on. You're almost on your number for kind of half season. You're very consistent with your point totals. 62 games played, 52 points across the last two seasons. As we mentioned, 100 games in the USP altogether. You don't get there by accident. It takes a lot of hard work. And I'm curious to know your kind of story, you know, youth hockey in Denmark. What was that like? And then how did you end up from there over here?
So youth hockey in Denmark is very different because we don't have as many players. So we have about the same amount of players as Canada has hockey rinks. So it's a lot different. So there's always two age groups together, and then you'll switch back and forth. But then once you get old enough, you'll start playing pro. And I wanted to see if I could make it out of Denmark, make it pro somewhere else. So I had a friend that knew a guy, a Danish coach that was in Canada. So I texted him and asked if I could come play. So we started talking, and then I flew over a month later.
Yeah, this was at what age, JJ?
Oh, I was just turned 17. That's
Wow.
2 years ago, yeah.
Okay.
Just turned 17.
That's incredible. Now, as far as your first stop over in North America, did you you mentioned that it was a Danish coach that was in Canada. Were you trying to land somewhere in Canada before ending up in the USPHL Premier League, or what was the journey there?
So at first I thought I would take one more year in Denmark and then I would save up some money and go. And then the opportunities just came. And then, like I said, a month later, after I started talking to that coach, I had my visa and I had everything else packed to go play over in Canada. I was thinking before maybe going to Sweden or somewhere closer, but take your
Decided
chances.
to miss that stop and stay on the big one over the pond, eh?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We have a but we have
Awesome.
a buddy from Stockholm, and he would tell you made the wrong decision. You should have stayed over there. Sweden's beautiful in the summertime, and all the above. But we're glad you came over. And not only that, so this year, last year you got traded midseason. You ended up in Vernal, which had a deep playoff run. You guys went to the finals, or not the finals, but you went to Nationals weekend, I should say, which is they consider that finals weekend for the USPHL Premier. This season, you come to the Dells with, like you said, Chase Crawshaw, Logan Wilty, the coaches and GM there, and your named captain, right? And I mentioned before, one of two captains. What is different about being, having the C on your chest at this level this year versus when you were, I'll say just one of the guys in the room, right? Watching someone else wear the C. What is the biggest difference for you?
I definitely have to be more responsible. Like, I can't be goofing around as much as like I used to do when I was 17. I gotta be more focused on collecting the team too. Like, I gotta be more focused about the whole team instead of just me and how I'm doing. So yeah, that's the biggest difference, I would say. It's having to be more responsible and then having to make sure everybody's in line and everybody's feeling okay and doing good.
So JJ, like, when did you know that you were going to be appointed the captain? And from a Dell Ducks perspective, does the team have a vote in that at all, or is it all just upper management? How did that come into play?
So I didn't know I was going to be a captain, and then everybody got here, and of course I wanted to be a captain, so I took a bit of a leader role. And then we had a voting on the team where you had to a piece of paper and you had to write four people on the team, not including yourself. You couldn't write yourself, but you had to write four people that would could be good leaders and good captains on the team. And that's how they Chase and Wilty, of course, I'm pretty sure I had a saying in it, but they also looked out for the team that way.
That's awesome. And I don't know the entire leadership pool up there in the Dells, but I know your co-captain is Jackson Wesley, who is a Tampa area native, Kevin, and originates in this area and played some youth hockey down here. So a little bit of a connection there also.
Funny story. I actually coached Jackson way back in the day on in the Oldsmar in-house team Blues. We were the Blues, and yeah, Jackson was a wagon back then, and I could see why he's moved up to where he has. But yeah, that was years ago, and Carter was a pylon, and so was Johnny, and it was to see the kids grow has been awesome for sure.
Was it like 7-year-old Jackson with like the flowing long hair like now, or was it a little different back then?
He had the blonde locks for sure. Maybe not as flowing as what it is now, but no, it was. I think the boys might have been our kids might have been six, and he might have been seven type of deal, because it was early on. It was early on for sure, but
Well, there you go, JJ. You can take that story back to the locker room there after break,
I will.
and remind him of Coach Kevin in the in-house league down here in Oldsmar. And you guys are
I
here in Wesley
will.
Chapel for the showcase right after the new year. So you mentioned being responsible as a captain and having to take the team kind of, under your wing, make sure that they're doing what you need done, as an organization. What is a JJ non-negotiable? What is something that you require out of everybody, no questions asked?
I, of course, there's always going to be the easy one, respect. Like, If they don't respect me, then I can't be leading them. But then I also require that when I talk, they have to listen, and they listen immediately. And that's also under respect. So it's like I'm not gonna be mean about it and start yelling at, but when I yell, then you listen. That's kind of the way it is. Luckily, I don't have like I haven't had to do it that much this season, so but yeah,
Nice,
that's how it is.
good.
Save it when you need to. Yeah,
Yeah.
I know a little bit about that there for sure. Now, switching gears real quick, growing up in Europe, what would you say the biggest adjustment has been, coming from a European country, playing European style, coming over to North America? Has there been a big adjustment? Is there changes? Were you playing on an Olympic rink versus just a standard NHL? How was that transition?
So I've been playing on a NHL size rink over here, and back in Europe it's Olympic size. That was a big adjustment. Kept hitting the walls, the boards when I had to turn on the wall. Thought I had a bit more room, but no. And then the toughness of the game there, because the rink is so much smaller. There's a lot more small hit, like hits with the stick, small slashes. There's a lot more hitting and stuff because the rink is smaller. You don't have as much time to, again, a big thing like having time on the ice. So yeah, that's the biggest things I've had to adjust to coming over here.
It's funny when you hear folks that grew up playing in the NHL size rinks, when they go to the Olympic size, they're like, oh, I got this guy beat. And then they look and they have another mile to go. And they realize that, yeah, it's a little bit different there, right? Where you're in the small confines, it's a little bit easier, I think, growing up that way than going, well, maybe not easier because you think you have more space. And, me playing down here, I thought I had you beat. And then, you beat me by at least 4 or 5 strides. So,
JJ is gonna beat you before you even get to the blue line, buddy. I
oh,
promise you
buddy,
that with
yeah,
his
no,
wheels.
I, yeah, it'll be, yeah, I'm a paint me orange, bud, that's for sure.
Yeah, Gonzo, buddy,
I will.
Gonzo, straight Gonzo. Hey, so JJ, you're, clearly, I watch a lot of Dell's Ducks hockey. I'm invested. The team, you guys have a level that when you can execute at a level of team play and puck protection, you are almost unbeatable as a unit. And it's hard to do that for 60 minutes of a USP game, right? With all the physicality, with the jawing, with the mouth of the two teams and calls that are made and calls that are missed and all that. How do you keep the boys on a level that is just kind of consistent, right? How do you navigate on the bench as one of the captains, keeping everyone calm? I mean, you've been up 3-0 and then you find yourself down 4-3. You've been down 3-0, find yourself up 5-3. Like the emotions are all over the place this season. How do you as the captain help try to keep that streamline?
I try and get people to just try and relax for a bit more. I tell them, okay, you're good. Keep playing like you do, and it'll come back. So I try to talk to them, and then if I can tell, okay, they're too pissed off, then I'll be like, okay, sit down, take some water, clear your head. Because it's not gonna help anybody if you're mad. So I always try and see if I can clear their minds before doing anything else, and then you always see what happens. So,
Yeah, and just to pull the curtain back a little bit more, is when Chase and Logan are on the bench, at my level, I never coached at their level, right? So we always had multiple coaches on the bench, and the coaches would do some of the talking. And as the kids got a little older, one or two kids would kind of take the lead on that. At your level in your age group, are they looking for you and Jax and the leaders of that team to be the ones, the John Scotts, right? To be the ones that step up and actually do that on the bench while they can worry about coaching? Or are they still looking to get involved and tell the guys to get out of their own head and play the game?
They are like they like us talking. They'll let us talk too. Of course, they focus more on the hockey player on coaching. So yeah, like you said, they focus more on the coaching, and we like if it's really bad, then they'll get involved, but otherwise they will try and leave it out and focus on the coaching.
So you guys are, you're in the, just pulling up the standings now. You are in the thick of it right now. We're almost halfway through the season. You're only 7 points out of first place. What's the pulse of the room right now? I know you guys are on a break until I think you come down here to Tampa, right? To Wesley Chapel.
Yeah.
What was the message to the boys going into the break? And more importantly, I mean, how do you keep the team focused and driving towards the right goal? That's 3 weeks off, right? So, can you talk a little bit about that?
So right before the break, we were all getting a bit tired because we had had so many road trips. Like every weekend, we were just a new place. So we had some players that was a bit tired, and our bodies were tired. So I told them, go home, get a bit of rest, and then but keep your minds on hockey. Get on the ice as much as possible, and just have some more fun with hockey. Because once you lose the fun with hockey, then you don't really want to be there anymore.
No, and
Yeah,
it's
once it
nice that
becomes a
they,
job. Yep, sorry,
yeah,
Bob.
no, you're good, 100%. And it's nice that they. I know there's some skates this week, for the boys that are left up there. Sully's not coming home till next Saturday. Some boys are staying there. Some boys live kind of local, right? So it's going to be a hit or miss. So they're doing some nice captain's practices, keep their legs moving. Watching the broadcast on Sunday on Flow, the Steele County Blades, who you guys won 6-3, your 100th game. They have four more games, Kev, before they go on Christmas break. Meanwhile, the Ducks are off for the next 3 weeks. So the schedule is all over the place for some of these teams, and the Ducks have had a majority of away games, whereas other teams have had a majority of home. So it is so unbalanced. It's kind of crazy to think of what that looks like moving forward.
Yeah, I can speak to at least the Florida division down here, right? Like they, from elite perspective and premier, they had three games this weekend. They've got two more this upcoming weekend. And then they have the showcase just before Christmas. So it's almost like the break this year, at least for the Florida teams, is a lot less than what it was in the previous 2 years that I can remember. But knowing that you guys have more home games ahead of you than road games, that's got to be huge. The ace in your pocket, so to speak, right? Going into the latter half of the season.
Yeah, it feels awesome knowing that we don't have to get on the bus as much. We got all the long ones away, so the ones we have now shouldn't be that long, road trips. And like it's so much different sleeping in a hotel room than sleeping in your own bed at night right before a game. So yeah, it's gonna help us a lot. It's gonna be nice playing in front of our fans. Hearing them cheer when we score is going to motivate us. Hearing them cheer when something good happens for the team, it's going to help us a lot.
So speaking on that, and I know Jeff, you've been up there recently, like in speaking to the leadership before the season, one of the things was getting that feel back for the Dells area, right? Like it's a very passionate fan base. Are you seeing the return of the fans? I know they've had a tough go the past year or two, but like anything, winning cures everything, right? So are you feeling like the community is rallying behind and coming back out and giving you guys the upper edge in the home ice advantage?
Yes, I do. Right now there's still like we haven't had that many home games, so there's still a lot of fans that haven't been able to make it. But we I like when I'm out with my billet mom and we talk to somebody they know, they're like, "Oh, you play for the Ducks? I heard they're doing good this year." I hear that a lot often, a lot more than it should be said, but yeah, I hear it and I can feel it. The fans are getting back behind us again, and like it's going to be good if the Ducks can keep on going after this season too.
Yeah, 11 wins in total last year, and this year, 20, just 23 games in, the Ducks are at 14 already. So, exceeded last year's win total halfway through the season. And you guys have been front loaded. Looking at your schedule, you played a lot of teams in the top half of the division. Again, any given Sunday, right? Any Friday night, anybody can beat anybody, right? So nothing is guaranteed, but you've got to feel good that as where you've positioned yourself the first half of the season with the schedule you've had. Again, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the back half of the season, if you guys continue to execute well, is going to set you up. There's a lot of points to be had, and I mean, you went 5 out of 6 this last weekend. That sort of, kind of run could continue the rest of the way if you guys can execute.
Yeah, if we can execute like that, I can see us definitely going far in playoffs and that's what the Dells need, and that's what we need as a team. This is a very passionate team, so it would be wonderful, amazing for all the players.
So speaking of that, Kev, I got one question to jump in there. Passionate players. I've got to ask you about John Scott. So John Scott, Kev, the legend of John Scott up there in the Dell. So he's a local kid.
Okay.
Played for the Ducks for a couple seasons now. He's a first liner. I mean, he's your line mate, right? Like
Yep.
he's not just some, just loaf out there running people into the boards and taking penalties. I mean, he's a skilled guy, but he knows how to drop them and throw them and watch out, buddy. It's a train coming at you. JJ, what is that like having that on your line, knowing that he's got your back? Not that you need it. I saw you a couple weekends ago holding your own just fine. So not that you need that, but what's it like playing next to, I mean, he just electrifies the crowd. It looks like he pumps up the boys. Like, what is that like having that personality next to you?
I find it awesome. It is because he is just a different man. He is not human, it feels like sometimes, but he'll get there, those places. He'll be there. Like you said, he's not a bad player. He'll get those points. He got amazing shots. So it's, and knowing that he's got my back, it's a lot, like, you feel a lot more safer going into a corner, knowing that some guy that just can run through anybody is standing right behind you. So, yeah.
You're not coming out alone, is what I'm hearing. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, he will be there with you or without you, he will be there.
That's awesome. That is awesome. For those listening, at home, what's the message for the fans and for the Dells Ducks organization for the latter half of the season? What do you feel the team's going to do? Not to put any bulletin board material out there or anything, but what's the mantra? What's the message to the boys moving forward?
Keep going. Like, it's been a good first half of the season, so just keep going. We gotta stick together, stay disciplined, and then keep on working because we can outwork any team.
I love it. That's
Keep it simple, stupid, right? That's the
that is
mantra,
it.
right? It's just the way to do it. Nothing special needed, no special skills, just basic hockey. Execute.
Heart and hustle will beat talent. And you put talent,
Yeah.
heart, and hustle together, it's like it's a scary thing. So
It is
yeah,
right.
no, it's exciting, man. I'm ha happy for you. I've
Right.
got obviously got a personal vested interest with what's going on up there, and love to see you guys continue on the road that you're doing. And it's a great thing that you guys are doing to the community out there as well.
Yeah.
JJ,
Thank you.
appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule. I know you've got a youth hockey practice to go help coach after this, which again says speaks to your character and speaks to what the Ducks do up there. A lot of boys spend time with the different youth organizations in that area and get on the ice, and it helps having billet brothers that are younger that are out there to get these boys out and supporting each other. So appreciate you doing that, JJ, giving back, coming from two coaches and guys that spend a lot of time on the ice. It's important to give back, especially to the young kids, to keep them in love with the sport. Because you mentioned once you stop loving it, it turns into work, and that's not fun for anybody.
No. Yeah,
So,
thanks for having me. So,
absolutely appreciate it. Keep up the great work in the second half. Merry
thank you.
Christmas. Have a great holiday season. Kev,
Merry
anything final
Christmas.
words for
Yeah,
JJ?
no, definitely. I'll come shake your hand when you're down here in Florida. Definitely want to put a face to a name. I know we're doing this virtually, but yeah,
Yeah.
no, keep it up. Keep it up. Keep the boys motivated, and good things will continue to happen. So I love what I'm
Thanks.
hearing and seeing. Congrats.
Thank you.
All
Thanks
righty.
for having me.
Absolutely, JJ, appreciate it. Kev, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk to another captain from another team in the USPHL and hear what they have to say. Stay tuned and hear more coming up next in the Pigeon's Nest. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that first segment with Jonathan Yokshoy, captain of the Dells Ducks USPHL Premier North Division team. And to keep with talking junior hockey and talking captaincies and talking responsibilities above and beyond, we are joined by the captain of the Tampa Bay Juniors USPHL Elite Team out of the Florida Division, Carter Trussler. Carter's an 06 birth year defenseman. Played now, this is his third season with the Tampa Bay Juniors coming up on his 100th regular season game, which, barring something unforeseen, will take place Friday upon puck drop. Carter, congratulations on 100 games in the USP, and welcome back, returning guest, to the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. Welcome to the Nest, my friend.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've talked to a couple of your teammates throughout the season already, talked to you earlier in the season. You guys are looking good, 16-3-1, number one in the Florida division. Just what's clicking for you this year, man?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely got a super talented team. You know, last weekend, right before Thanksgiving break, we had a back-to-back losing streak, which hadn't happened at all for us this year, which I think was really good for us. So I think it definitely made us work harder this last week, getting ready for the games that just happened this weekend. And then, of course, this week, prepping for the showcase and the Blades this weekend.
So, yeah, having front row seat to a lot of the games that that you play in, you know, going into the break, obviously, I think a good eye opener for the squad. You rebounded really nicely this past weekend, playing three games, two at home, one on the road. What did you feel the difference was with the team, you know, just before the break and then coming out of the break? And, you know, now we're getting into the season where, you know, the true rubber hits the road. This is the final swan song to make it to playoffs, right? So can you talk a little bit about what the coaches had said and, you know, the pulse of the team and how you're looking going into the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I saw something that Deion Sanders said a couple of weeks ago when Colorado lost an upset game. He was saying how success is paralyzing. And I feel like that hit us right before that back-to-back loss because we were on like a 12-game heater. And we thought no one could beat us. So I think we stopped doing the little things in practice and started slacking off in the weight room and everything. And I think it really made us wake up and realize that we're not unbeatable and that I think it was really beneficial for us to lose those games. And then you saw this last weekend that we were definitely back on track from where we were before.
Well, and it's important to not get too high or low, right? And that goes for in-game, it goes for in-between games, it goes for you know, weekend to weekend, right? Like, everything ebbs and flows during the course of a hockey season, and you guys playing so well on a regular basis. How do you, as a captain, so first of all, are you the only C on the team, or do you have a split captaincy like a lot of other teams do?
Yeah, no, this year it's just one C, and then we have two other assistant captains.
Okay, so you're the man of the room then. So what is different to you this season being the captain, and what is expected of you versus, you know, when you were just Joe Schmo on the end of the bench being a defenseman? What's the biggest difference for you this season that you're taking to help lead your team?
Yeah, like even last year I was an assistant captain, but we had a lot of older guys on the team that really took charge in the leadership process, I'd say. And it's a lot different this year, realizing that like if I'm not speaking up or if I'm not leading by example, no one else is. So like I really need to like lead by example. And if I don't, then there's not that many older kids to pick up the slack, if that makes sense. So I think it's definitely a lot more responsibility this year than last year. And I got to be a lot more vocal than I was last year too.
So going to the selection of captain, I asked JJ the same thing. Does the team have a say in, you know, who they feel should be captain, or does it come down just to the coaching staff and the leadership in the front office?
Yeah, no. So I think it was about a month ago, the coaches said come in with three names, one C and two A's, and then give some like attributes or characteristics that you think that person has and why they think they're deserving. So everyone did that, and then the coaches chose pretty much deservingly on the votes.
So Carter, with that being said, you clearly showed a level of leadership prior to being named captain, which is typically how it works, right? You kind of take that role almost naturally, whether, you know, JJ's case, to your point, Kev, he mentioned that he kind of identified that was a goal of his, was to be a letterman and be a captain on his team. And he did some things at the start of the season to do the extra things, I should say, to help get him to that level, right? With you being on the team for a couple of years, you know, you probably naturally were doing those extra things, but what were some of the things that you were doing before, you know, the letters were handed out that you think might have got you there? And then how did that translate into now, where, you know, what is the non-negotiable that Carter expects? What is a must do to make sure that Carter is happy, you know, as the captain and leading the team the way you want to lead it?
Yeah, I think for both of those answers, I'd say just being positive, like at all times on the bench, especially with the younger guys, like who don't have the confidence that like me and some of the older experienced guys have. Like they really need positive reinforcement during games and during practice to really like motivate them to do well. So I think that's a big thing. Just helping like guys out with like everything you need to know, like about bus trips, times you need to be there, what you need to bring, just stuff like that, where you really can only do that if you've been there before. So I think that was a huge help too.
So being, you know, in your third season now, what would you say is the biggest difference? And we might've touched on this a little bit later or earlier, but like between your first year and now you are the third year on the team and the senior on the team, what has been the biggest difference between, you know, Carter starting at 15, 16 to now being 18 years old and a leader on the team?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, like, I sort of feel how the rookies feel this year, where it's like you're looking up to the older guys who have been there because you don't really know what is going on or, like, how the level of play is going to be prior to the year. So really, as, like, you play more, you just get more confident, and it definitely helps, of course, being in the third year at this point.
So with you, with your team having the success you guys have had, you know, I've watched some of your games and they haven't all been cakewalks, right? You haven't rolled over everybody. You know, you're not winning because you're showing up, right? You're winning because you guys are playing as a team, executing properly, doing the right things. But there's been games you've been down that you've come back from, or there's been games that have just, you know, you've won 2-1 or 3-2, putting up 50 shots on goal and ran into a hot goalie or whatever. What does it look like on the bench for you? You know, you have a very seasoned coach, right, in Philip Kuba that has, you know, more experience than I'll ever even think of having. And the Strats are part of the equation during the game and have a lot of hockey experience. So how do you as the captain fit into that role? You know, are you taking the lead on the bench talking to the guys, or are the coaches still doing that? Just kind of pull the curtain back and give us a few minutes on what it's like on the bench of a TBJ game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a mix of both. Like in the locker room, I think it's more coach driven on just keeping us positive and not allowing us to get frustrated, even if we have like 50 shots a game, which I think we've been averaging almost that every game. And there's some games that we've just been snake bitten and it doesn't come. So we just keep believing, keep working, keep playing together. And, you know, on the bench, of course, on the D side, I always try to keep the D positive, and then like before each period I say a little something to the team to sort of get us going right from the start of the period or try.
So going on off of the team, you know, Jeff says peel back the curtain, let's peel it back a little bit more. You know, what do the fellas do for fun inside of the locker room? Who are some of the characters? And, you know, who are the ones that, aside from maybe yourself keeping it light, but, you know, like to keep it light and have some fun?
Yeah, I mean, Talon and Mata definitely like having some fun in the locker room. There's a lot of guys on the team that really just, they take it serious, but they don't, like, let it completely stiffen them up. So almost everyone on the team, I'd say, is pretty light in the locker room in between periods, but still staying focused as much as we can.
Do you find it? I mean, I think we always say and think that, you know, a loose team is plays better, right? A little more free, whatever. I think for you guys and most teams that are established, it comes down to the relationships. And your team, you know, you mentioned you had a lot of older kids last year, and now it's not, I won't say a young team, but a younger team, you know, you're an 06 as the captain. What is it like to handle the 07s and 08s, if you have any, you know, first year, second year kids, or some of the second year eligibles or first year players, right? So what is it like for you in the room to be that vet as an 06 looking at an 07 that is brand new, that's only played 20 games, never mind 100? How do you help them kind of get to where you want them so that they're effective for you as a team?
Well, I think it really helps that, like, a lot of our guys, even the new guys, are from the Tampa area. So a lot of us, like, knew each other prior to the year. Even if they weren't on the team, I've still, like, played with them or, like, played with them at, like, hockey camps during the summer somewhere. So, like, they already had, like, at least some, like, respect for some of the leadership guys in the locker room. And, like, they know, especially after last year going all the way to the national semifinal, like, looking at us to see what it takes to get to that point and hopefully even farther this year. And yeah, I mean, I think they do a great job listening, and they even some of the older 07s do a great job leading, even though it's their first year as well.
So you have a unique situation where you have a premier and an elite team, and both teams are being, you know, are successful this year. How much interaction between the two locker rooms is there? If any, you know, is there much that goes on between the two? You know, I know that you guys are cheering on the premier when you guys are in the rink and they're playing. But as far as that dynamic between the two teams, what would you say that looks like for those that want to come and you know, play in Tampa?
I mean, honestly, this year it's not as much interaction as last year. Like last year, both the elite and premier teams were super close. This year, it's a little bit more distant, but there's also been guys coming in from like NCDC and NOL. So I think as we get closer to the playoffs, the teams will bond more, just because like last year we didn't really communicate too much until like January and then on, and then we were super tight by the time the Florida playoffs came. So I'd assume it'll be a similar thing this year.
When the push comes, does do the coaches interact with the two teams like to push each other? You know, elite playing premier, like not going up and down, but I'm saying in practices or, you know, doing fun competitions, things of that nature, off ice. Does that ever happen?
I mean, off ice, sometimes like we've just started doing these races where it's like a shuttle run race. And we sort of like compete between the teams on like who gets the most wins out of like the premier and elite kids. So like, that's a fun little competition we do that just started recently. And like, they're always saying we should be cheering each other on in the stands because our goal is both to win nationals. And I think this is the year that both could very well happen. So just being positive for each other is going to be huge come playoff time.
Well, that would be a crazy story if you think about it, having one organization win both banners. I mean, that'd be a heck of a feat there. But mm-hmm. Before you get to that point, there's a lot of hockey left to be played, and your division, you know, we mentioned it during the last segment, you know, I said the any given Sunday phrase, you know, anybody can beat anybody at any given time. And mm-hmm. You've seen that even this year, you know, even with your what, four losses, I think, total, right? Three and one. Even with your four losses total, you've had to battle in a lot of your games. And what do you think, you know, going into the next half of the season, your schedule is not getting any easier. The road in front of you is not getting any easier. Your travel, even though, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's Florida division, it's in one state, what's the big deal? Well, we know what the big deal is. You know, it's 4 hours on a bus down south, it's 4 hours on a bus up north. I mean, your travel is just as bad as the Minnesota, the North Division, right? With Minnesota, Wisconsin, whatever else. What are you most looking forward to in the second half of the season? And what are you most not or least looking forward to, I guess is probably the proper way my English teacher would tell me, that you're looking forward to in the second half of the season?
Well, I think both or most of our team and teammates are really fired up for the next two showcases because it's a bunch of teams we haven't played yet. Or if we did, it was super close back in Virginia. So like those are the games that I found the last 2 years. If you come out over 500 in those, you're typically going to do pretty well at nationals, or if you get there, of course. So I'm really excited to play some of those teams from the Southeast Division and Northeast as well. So I'm also excited this weekend to play the Blades because they've gotten some premier kids to come down and they just swept Atlanta this last weekend. So that should be a really good game and home this weekend.
Yeah, and home where it's you play Friday night up in Tampa and then you're down there at 11:30 a.m. On Saturday, which isn't the best timing for both teams, but it is what it is. So you get to see what the team is made of, what the mental fortitude is. What is the message going into the team for the rest, you know, going into the break? I know you have a lot of games left. We got six games before Christmas, and then you jump right back in and you have the showcase that the juniors are hosting. What is the message to the team, you know, going into the latter half of the season?
We just got to keep working, and we can't let more wins distract us from our end goal. And yeah, we can't look at opponents and see how they're ranked and like base our effort off of that. We need to play each team like their faceless opponent and play our best game every game. especially with like this year with the playoff format being different. And there's like a different like ranking system where you have to like beat the good teams and you can't lose to very many bad teams without being dropped in the rankings. And that's all for like the wild card and whatever. So it's really important the regular season to not let your foot off the gas for any game, because that could be the decider on if you make nationals or not.
Well, and that's a great point, Carter. And across the USP this year, every division is only sending one person, like one team. Like there's true division champions this year. No more co-champions or two teams or whatever. So there's going to be good teams. There's going to be upset somewhere, right? It's just the nature of sports, right? Not every first place regular season champion is going to make it to Natty. So to your point, getting too far ahead of, you know, and this isn't a TBJ specific thing, this is anywhere, getting too far ahead of the rest of the season, looking ahead or talking natties or talking deep playoff runs. That's great. But Kevin, and Carter, I've known you for a long time and we've coached together and talked together. You run into a hot goalie. Your goalie sick, your best defenseman gets hurt. Your forward, like whatever, right? Doesn't anything, pick something. And three game series, just like a seven game, you split the first two, that third game can go any one of 94 different ways. And next thing you know, you're going home and not going to natties, and it could happen that way. So I think to your point, Carter, keeping the boys on that path and staying focused, and you said a great faceless opponent. You guys, if any team looks at the scoreboard ahead of time, they don't come out with that effort, and you know, you've lived that life and you know it can happen. So is there a message in the room? You know, that's something I'm sure the coaches are going to be promoting, right? But are you guys in the locker room on Thursday before that weekend, and you're hearing the jibber jabber in the corner about we're going to kick their ass and do this and do that? Are you shutting that down right then and there, or kind of what's that look like on your end?
Yeah, no, we try to. Of course, we want to have confidence, and like our coaches are saying, like for both teams this year, like every team's going to bring their best against us because they're trying to knock us off. So we need to be ready for every opponent because everyone's going to be playing their hardest against us. So we cannot let even like the lowest of ranked teams let us distract us from how we should be playing.
Yeah, you've been on both sides of the coin. I know through the youth hockey career, it's been, you know, you've been the top of the ladder going in and then the bottom of the ladder. And, you know, there's been successes and failures on both ends. And yeah, you can't take any opponent too lightly. That's the why you play the game. You know, and you can't leave it up to what the stats will say. Just ask Alabama on that in the college world rankings right now, right? Like they're 13 out of a 12 playoff team looking in. And, you know, if they would have taken care of business in just one of those games, you know, you have a ticket to the dance. So good message. Remember that, you know, it's fun to keep it light. It's fun to play sewer, but don't break things within the locker room. You know, if you want to throw out a GoFundMe note, feel free to fire that plug out here on the Greasy Pigeon podcast. Otherwise, I'll leave it.
Go to Jan Zeman's Instagram to help pay for a new TV.
I'm guessing there's a story here, gentlemen. Is it something Carter wants to bring up? We're going to leave it. Carter, we're just going to leave it alone.
Coach has said to keep it internal, so I'll keep it internal.
Good call, Carter. Good call.
Maybe we'll clear that one out.
Forget it. Forget Jan Zeman on Instagram. That's Zeman. Go drop a little Sazich to help with the TVs.
Anything helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Carter, we mentioned it earlier. 100th regular season game coming on Friday. You know, we kind of talked through your three seasons with TBJ and your path and kind of, you know, coming up here in the rec program in the Tampa area. Right. And then moving on to youth hockey and getting to juniors. But just kind of looking at it from where you sit right now, right? Take that kind of retrospective moment. Like, what does it mean to you that you've, you know, had a 100 game career in junior A hockey? You know, tier three or not, I don't care what people say. It's still a competitive game. It still filters out talent from the top down, right? It's not like a everyone gets to play thing, even though, you know, some people will say it is. It's a big milestone. It's an important thing. And you've made it, and you've made 100 games, and you've made an impact every season for TBJ. What does that mean to you to get here, and what's kind of what is Carter going to do, you know, not necessarily in the future, but, you know, how are you going to build on, you know, from game 101 and forward?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy that I got that text to say the 100th game would be Friday. I didn't even know that that was around the corner. But I mean, if you were to told me like my second year at U14 that I would play over 100 games of juniors, I probably wouldn't have believed you. So just seeing from how far I've come from like earlier youth hockey until now, it's been a lot of work, but it's been really rewarding.
Yeah, good. And Kevin, I'm going to let you take off the co-host hat for a minute and go ahead and put the dad hat back on and the coach dad hat a little bit. What does it mean to you to see where Carter has come? You know, he mentions U14 year. What does it mean to you and mom for Carter to be where he's at now, 100 games at the junior level? Just what does that mean for the family?
Well, you're going to give me a Johnny moment right now. You son of a bitch.
I know the key to the trusters, man. Yeah, let me tell
right?
you.
I mean, hey, yeah. No, I mean, hey, the kid worked his ass off. And, you know, you talk about a kid that just didn't want to quit. I mean, never had to ever ask him to go to the rink. You know, he was always wanting to be there, be on time, be a good teammate. You know, I'm sure Carter will tell everyone that I was probably tougher on him than what some of the other coaches said. You know, that was just me wanting to make sure that there was no dad coaching moment in my eyes. But yeah, I couldn't be more proud of him. Yeah.
Good. Well, and just to, you know, confirm that suspicion, you were absolutely harder on him for no reason whatsoever than any other coach on the bench. And that was our job. Go ahead, Carter.
I do have a shout out, Coach Gus Bukakis. I contribute a lot of this success to him because he was my D coach for like 5 or 6 years. So I definitely wouldn't be here without him.
That's a true story. Oh. And he was the one after your dad would just light you up for no reason because you like missed a pass on a Canadian regroup drill. Gus would get you in the corner and be like, "Hey, bud, don't worry about it. Just go ahead."
Yeah,
and,
he was the good angel on the shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 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 We were all keeping Kevin. Hey, Kev, come over here. Let's come over here for a second. Hey, draw that drill on the board for me again. Don't worry about yelling at Carter one more time.
That takes a village. No.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Couldn't be more proud. Yeah. So, nope. No. Sorry. Yeah.
Appreciate it. No. Okay. I can't wait to, you know, show this clip to your dad, Johnny, there. He'll understand it fully. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, listen, Carter, man, I actually will be in attendance on Friday night. I'm actually going to come down for your game. So I'll be able to take in your 100th game and that milestone with you and family. And we'll, Kev, we may or may not have some pops and watch the kid.
Possibly. Yeah,
watch the kid hit his 100th game and see what that looks like. And then the next time I'll see you guys, Carter, in person, we'll be down in the showcase at Wesley Chapel in January. And we'll recruit again and do all that. So,
good things. The links on Sunday.
Oh, that's right, bud. The old unofficial 2.0 Greasy Pigeon.
We might have to hop on a live stream.
That's right. Yes, the old F around fest on Sunday morning, bud. Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be bright and early, that's for sure.
Well, since Carter just threw the plug out there, yes, find us. Watch for our live stream on TikTok on Sunday. We're gonna have some fun in the carts. And there will be absolutely no pops flowing Sunday morning. So there's nothing to worry about there.
Not with the boys. No, you know,
yeah, no. Yeah, good point, Kev. Yeah. Not with
coaches,
the boys.
Coaches, yeah.
That's right. Links on Sunday and then hockey in January. But Carter, man, we appreciate you having fun with us. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck on what the rest of the season holds. And congratulations on the 100 games, man.
Thank you. I'm for sure going to have to be on around playoff time.
Absolutely. It's always nice checking in with the guys that are going deep into the playoffs and see where the teams are and all that's transpired between then and now and then.
Lots of runway left, though. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's it.
For sure.
Carter, man, appreciate it. Best of luck to you. And enjoy the holiday season, and we'll see you out there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everyone else, stay tuned. We'll wrap things up next on the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. Kev, what a great episode today. Two, you know, young men in the prime of their hockey careers, you know, from different parts of the world, end up in the, you know, the same league, you know, both wear the C on their chest. I mean, just what was your biggest takeaway from, you know, JJ's interview and Carter's interview on kind of why they, you know, what's that characteristic they both have that makes them both captain material in your eyes as a former coach?
So, you know, I think just that calm, cool, steadiness, you know, willingness to speak up when to speak up, knowing that all eyes are on them because, you know, as the captain, you know, they're looking for leadership, not both, you know, vocally, but also, are you the one putting in the work on and off the ice? Are you helping your teammates when they need help? And, you know, are you keeping the ship as steady as can be? You know, because we know during a season, there's going to be peaks and valleys. And the team that stays the most level and has the leadership that can keep the team intact and not get too high or too low is going to be pretty successful. So, yeah, it was awesome to see, you know, specifically hearing from JJ, you know, the European coming on over here at such a young age. Obviously, Carter, I have a front row seat at that one. But, you know, it was, I thought, you know, great to hear it from two different teams and two different leagues, although in the same USPHL.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to take a quick left turn and explain that a little deeper, just for those that, you know, are in the States that have never played on a European size rank, an Olympic rank, right? Which 15 feet wider, I believe it's a true 200 by 100 on the Olympic size rank, where an NHL sheet is 200 by 85. From you playing on the two different sheets across your career, you know, I've been around them coaching with you. I clearly can see the difference. They're wider. That makes a lot of sense. But what is it that makes the difference on that rink? And in your opinion, is there one way that's harder than the other to go? Like each one, you know, JJ is going to say his is harder. Carter's going to say it's harder the other way. What do you think?
So I think it depends on what type of player you are, right? And how good your wheels and skating is. Like for JJ, yeah, you know, he said flat out, he's like, yeah, normally I can make a turn and there's more, more space and I'm running into the wall. For those muckers and grinders and guys that like to play the body and keep it in tight, it's a lot easier to do that on a standard NHL rink than what it is in an Olympic size. So, you know, again, I was never a burner by any means. So playing in a smaller rink usually helped me a little bit more. But I know that playing with guys that had the wheels and had the capability to get outside and around D or you know, other players playing on the Olympic sheet, there's just so much more freewheeling that can be done over there. If you're a good puck moving team, you know, a good puck moving team, no matter what, both sheets, you got to be good at it. You put a really good puck moving team on Olympic size and they have that much more area to work with. If you're not trying to keep it tight defensively and protect the house, you could be left on an island out there, both as a, you know, forward D and a goalie. It's a lonely, lonely spot. So,
well, and I would think too, as your angles are all different, right? Right. Your angle of approach on the defenseman, is going to be different. Gap control is going to be different. You know, it's the same, you know, up and down, it's the same, but width wise, you know, you stay inside the dock, give them the outside. If they've got wheels, they're going to turn you. If they don't, they're going to shoot, you know, take that shot from outside and they're probably still 40 feet away from the goaltender, right? It's almost like a warm-up shot as opposed to a really high danger scoring area. So understanding hockey IQ, I think, comes into it a lot, where a really good player that understands the game and is confident in their positioning or their speed or their recovery would probably prefer the bigger sheet because it gives them more options and they feel more comfortable or just as comfortable protecting that area. I mean, that would be my thoughts from the bench, because clearly I could never do it on the blades. So I'm just, you know, I'm looking at it from the outside in.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, I think any rink that you go into as a player, you want to look at the dimensions, because there's always little things that are different from what your home rink is. And, you know, it's playing Olympic size, it's amazing because, you know, you might have someone beat and then next thing you know, you're thinking that I'm right on top of the goalie and I have a great shot attempt. But then I'm looking, it's, you know, I'm almost to the blue line in a regular rink. So, you know, it's a different dynamic. We'll just say that for those fast puck moving, freewheeling skating teams, I think they relish in playing in a bigger ice surface because they can beat you with their speed and puck movement. For those muckers and Boston Bruin-esque type teams that we have grown to love, like playing in the confines of the old Boston Garden, plays to your advantage. You're not letting those skilled players get loose as much as what they would in a bigger ice surface.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, and I hope that helps break it down a little bit, because at some point for you youth parents out there listening, or you know, your youth players, you will end up at a sheet at a rink. And if you play in Florida and you played in Palm Beach, you probably already have, because there's one of the sheets, at least they used to use. I know there's a couple new buildings built down there, so I guess maybe that, who knows if they actually still use that single sheet. Palm Beach, is that the skate zone or the ice
skate
house
zone,
or
yep,
whatever.
Yep.
Whatever the single sheet is down there, is Olympic size sheet of ice that we used to play on. And that was always a difference when you showed up there. Not only is that building gorgeous and big high ceilings and stadium seating up on the ends, right? But it's an Olympic size piece of ice, and you're out there and your gaps are all different. So kids, you will end up on a big sheet of ice at some point in your playing career. So a few tips and tricks on how to take care of that ice and not let the guy blow by you like you're standing still, like I would do.
Both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one more question for you, Kev, before I let you go. From a captaincy standpoint, right? You've been on the ice at a junior level. You've seen what makes a successful captain. When you've got two teams, you know, the Ducks are, you mentioned, in a battle. You know, they're in fourth place, tied for fourth, tied for fifth, 7 points out of first, you know, 7 points out of seventh, basically. Like, it's a tough battle where they are. The juniors had a great start to the season, hot start. You know, they got a nice lead in their division. Doesn't mean it's going to hold necessarily. You know, if they keep executing, it will. But they're not counting their chickens, and the Ducks aren't counting theirs, right? Everyone's still battling. Is there an easier job as a captain? Which team would you rather be the captain of? The one that's up top, just running it, or the one that's mucking every day, that's battling, that's fighting, you know, kind of for their lives, so to speak? Which one would you rather be the captain of?
So the heart of hearts, I'm always the underdog type of feel, right? Where, you know, it's never over until it's over type of deal. And that's the mentality, I think, you know, as a captain, you have to have no matter what. But I would think it'd be a little bit tougher when, you know, you've got a good cushion and trying to keep the locker room as light as possible and not be, you know, too serious if that's what the team has been successful on with, you know, keeping it loose and keeping it light. It's a delicate balance, though, man, because when you're in the dogfight day in and day out, you know what it takes. You know what it takes. And, you know, there's no easy wins in the league for sure. But you have to have that lunch pail mentality, I think, when you are in the dogfight day in and day out. And I think that goes for if you're at the top of the bracket, too. If you bring that mentality to every practice and every game, you're going to see success. But, you know, Carter said it best. It's if you can keep your opponent as a faceless opponent in any sport, you're going to have a shot at doing well, because you don't ever want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. You don't want to get psyched out. It's what you can bring to the rink that day. And, you know, you said it yourself, every given Sunday, right? There's always a chance for a team to win. And that's why they play the game. And that's what's beauty about it. So, I know I danced around the question, but at the end of the day, I think both are tough, you know, and it's I think both young men have the right mentality as to how they're approaching it. And, you know, can't wait to see what the outcome is down the road.
Yeah, I would agree. I would think there's no right answer. I don't think that I know that there's no right answer. What I do think is that if you approach it the right way, they're actually the same position. And you mentioned the why. It has to be that faceless opponent that can beat you any day of the week. If you think, like, look at when the Patriots are on the run, let's tie this back to something that most people are familiar with, right? Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. How many press conferences on Wednesday and Thursday of the week, you know, the 12-1 Patriots that score a million points a game are going up against the 0-15 or whatever Jets that week, right? Like, during the Brady tenure, that the Jets were pretty bad most of the time. And Bill Belichick, he'd be up there snorting and cracking and spitting and, oh, well, one of the best offensive line organizations I've ever seen play the game. We're going to have our hands tied on the weekend. And you're like, no, you're not. You know, and they go out there and they win by 80. You know what I mean? Like it happened week over. Oh, the Cleveland Browns. That's you know, they're formidable on the other side of the ball. No, they're not. They can't score. They can't kind of. They don't even have a quarterback. What are you talking about? But that's what Belichick would do, and his team bought in. So, you know, to play that over, I don't care if you're playing the O and whoever or the Vernal Oilers at 22-0. You go and you have a chance to win that game if you go in with the right mindset and you go execute your game. And at the end of the day, you play your game no matter who's on the other side of the ice and you'll be successful. So I think the long way, so you dodgy answer and I gave you a wicked long answer, is they're actually the same position if they can if they can get their mind right.
Look, if you're not prepared when puck drops or you don't make the in-game adjustments and realize that, you know, the other team has come to play, then, you know, you're going to be the one on the opposite end of that. So, you know, it's tough to be on over and over and over again. But, you know, if we're using football, you look at this year, Kansas City somehow finds a way to win at the end. Good teams find a way to win and bad teams find a way to lose. And, you know, again, that just is not by accident. That's preparation. It's mindset. And, you know, again, I can't wait to see what the rest of the season is going to look like. We're halfway through in some of the teams. So other teams are just a little bit before halfway through, and there's a lot of runway left, man. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And some would say Kansas City gets a little help from their striped-shirted friends, but we'll leave that for a different episode for a different day right there.
Hey, pick up the puck. Give it to the ref. You'll get more, more love with flowers than it is throwing hate, man. That's for sure.
And any chance I can roll out my really bad Bill Belichick impersonation, I will take the opportunity. So appreciate you letting me do that for a hot minute there.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a real pleasure, Kev, talking to you today. Appreciate that.
We're on the Cincinnati.
We're on to the next one. Kev, it's been a pleasure. I'm glad we got the time to talk to JJ and Carter, and I thank them both for taking the time out of their schedules to talk to us today. Right, you know, before the holiday and everything else. So, as I said, I will see you in person. We'll put something out on the socials Friday night regarding the TBJ game, and then as Carter plugged, there'll be something going on Sunday on the golf course. So we'll have a little fun with that on Sunday too.
Looking forward to it, man.
Absolutely. Sure. Kev, your beauty is always, but my friend, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people. If hopefully we'll talk to you before the holidays, but if not, for those that we don't see or you don't hear us, then happy holidays to you and wish you all the best in 25.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Look for kind of an end of the year wrap up show at some point here between now and the ball drop night, and hopefully we'll keep entertaining you long into 2025. Appreciate all of you. Appreciate you, Kev. Appreciate our guests today. Everyone have a great day. Cheers.